You are now listening to Discover Your Potential with renowned radio talk show host and certified holistic practitioner, Cindy Gilman. So listen, participate, be inspired. Know that you can discover your potential. Here she is, Cindy Gilman.
Winners are people like you. Winners take chances. Like everyone else, they fear failing, but they refuse to let fear control them. Winners don't give up. When life gets rough, they hang in until the going gets better. Winners are flexible. They realize there's more than one way and are willing to try others. Winners know they are not perfect. They respect their weaknesses while making the most of their strengths. Winners fall, but they don't stay down. They stubbornly refuse to let a fall keep them from hanging. Winners don't blame fate for their failures nor luck for their successes. Winners take responsibility for their lives. Winners are people like you. They make this world a better place to be. And that is true. Hi, I'm Cindy Gilman. Welcome to Discover Your Potential, the program that helps you understand that sometimes the universe may throw us a curveball, as they say in baseball, and we realize that perhaps where we're living or the work that we're doing or the relationship we're in may not be the right course. And somehow the universe shows us an open window. So I try to choose my guests who can relate to that and understand that sometimes it takes a second chance to do what your soul purpose is. I hope you'll call in. Our call-in number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you miss part of this program, or you want to hear it again, or you'd like a friend to hear it, the podcast for the program can be found on iTunes or Spotify. And I want to thank Doug, because he's the one who helps keep me in line, technically. And we are streaming throughout the world. It's been a kind of weird time. A lot of colds, flu, coughs. People are hacking away. You know, it's wherever you go into the supermarket, people are sneezing, coughing. But there is a natural product that you can get. You can order it online, I'm sure, or go to your nearest health food store. And it's something that helps you keep your immune system strong or rebuild your immune system. It's called olive leaf extract, and it's in a capsule form. So it helps support your immune system, and we want you to stay healthy. So for anyone who isn't, I'm sure as I'm taught, my hands are getting red. That means I'm sending out healing. We're now streaming live on WBBS, and I know you're going to love this show. I just know it. I want to dedicate the first part of this program to the young and to the young at heart. My guest today is a well-known, renowned children's book author and illustrator. He's worked all over the country. He worked for Sesame Street and developed animated shorts. It is my sincere pleasure to welcome Jean Beretta to Discover Your Potential. Hi, Jean.
Oh, you know, I could really use some of that olive leaf extract.
Is that Jean? Are you playing with me?
Just thought I'd give you a little advertising.
Oh, I thought that was it. No, I don't sell it. People have to buy it. That was cute. That was, I, you know, no matter what, I love people with a sense of humor.
Okay, good.
Sometimes people don't get my sense of humor, but.
Me too. So. I'm in the same boat.
Really?
Yeah. But you have to take risks, you know.
That's it. When's your birthday?
September 9th.
Ah, that's right near my grandson's birthday.
Oh, the same one? Same day?
So, tell me your story.
Starting from when?
Oh, when did you change your course and get into children's book writing and illustrating?
That was in the 90s, and it wasn't one I anticipated, because I was already in my mid-late 30s, mm-hmm. and I had no idea that writing and illustrating books could be a career, and I don't know why, and it seems to
probably be... your parents told you that you should be an accountant.
No, actually not at all. My brother and I were both artists, and we both got full support from the parents, but it was just never on my radar, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was working in the film and TV industry for a while. I studied that in school. And then I left that, and I was out west, and I moved back east, and I was trying desperately to think of what I was going to do next. And I kind of made a transition through doing some animation with Sesame Street, mm-hmm. through friends that I had that worked with the Muppets, because my brother's one of the Muppet performers and writes and directs. And
really? Which Muppet is he?
He does a number of them. He does this Swedish Chef and Dr.
Oh,
Keith,
I love that.
And Rolf and Pepe the King Prawn, lots and lots.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so I was introduced to producers at Sesame Street through my friends, Kevin Clash, and then through that I started working with a children's show called Between the Lions, and they did books as well as their TV program, and so through my book work with them, I was networking, and eventually it all led me toward the publishing industry. And then at the same time, I was meeting people in my area that were making a living as illustrators.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, this is perfect, because I've been illustrating my entire life. My mom tells me that when I was 3 years old, I drew a big purple elephant on the wall next to my crib.
Oh,
so
nice.
I know I've been doing it at least that long. And so I thought, well, I can continue to tell stories, which is what I wanted to do when I was in the film and TV business. Wanted to be a film director.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, making my books is still my way of making my own personal mini movies, in a way. Only it gives me a lifestyle that I think is much more much more suitable for me. I'm more of a homebody, and
do your work at home.
Yeah, and there's still some collaboration with editors and art directors and all of that. But I can combine my love for illustrating with my love for storytelling, and that's how I ended up where I am. But, you know, there was that, you're talking about that transition period,
mm-hmm.
after I left the industry in the 90s, there was a period of 2 to 3 years where I was just lost,
mm-hmm.
had no clue what I was going to do. As hard as I tried to figure out the next direction, it just wasn't there in my mind. So it was a pretty lost period. And
I think sometimes people do go through that, through that kind of period.
Yeah, it's like that Jonah in the belly of the whale kind of thing, where you have to go down to the bottom to find your way back up. You know?
Right, until they find what their sole purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it does come, it's like, oh, I am supposed to do that.
Yeah. And with all those hardships, without those hardships, I would have never found my way here.
Right. And I'm sure, I know in my work, a lot of those of us who are empaths or intuitives or mediums, we go through a lot in our younger years. Mm-hmm. And it hit me one day that we had to, in order mm-hmm, yeah. to be empathetic and yeah. understand the kinds of difficult times other people go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want to hear what type of children's books have you written, and what age group are they devoted to?
They're all devoted to our elementary school age kids. They're all picture books. I'd like to eventually do some chapter books and graphic novels and things, but as of now, they're all picture books. And most of the ones I started as an illustrator for other authors, and when I was doing that, I was covered the gamut with just with fictional stories about animals, stories, and mm-hmm. any kind of fun fictional theme you could think of. And then my first as an author illustrator was nonfiction, and it was about Ben Franklin's inventions and how we still use them today. And it was called Now and Ben, The Modern Inventions of Benjamin Franklin. And that did really well and kind of put me on the map. And as a result of that, I kept working on, I did an inventor series to follow that up, and I did Leonardo da Vinci and Thomas Edison.
Oh,
and,
neat.
Yeah, and then, spread out this scope of subjects. But I've only done one fictional book, and the rest have all been nonfiction, and a lot of those have been biographies. So that seems to be my niche for at least now, and mm-hmm. it's what's given me my success. My last one, if I can mention, that just came out this month, is all about George Washington Carver. And the Secret Garden of George Washington Carver, and all of I've done this with a couple books where I find key moments in their childhoods mm-hmm. that changed the course of their life. And his was the Secret Garden that he kept, which mm-hmm. taught him got him started learning everything he needed to know to take that path and become a teacher, professor, and help revive agriculture in the South after the Civil War, and educated lots of ex-enslaved people who were now on their own and had no idea how to be self-sufficient.
Right. Now, what age group is that geared toward?
They're all elementary school age
uh-huh.
books, yeah. Generally, I think, they usually put a grade... On the book, they'll usually mark grades 2 to 5 or something like mm-hmm. that, and that's generally the area. But what I'm happy about is that since they are nonfiction, I'll hear from a lot of parents who have learned a lot from the books. And I just reminded myself of something. They've had recently on Jeopardy, they've had mm-hmm. some winners who have gone on for weeks and weeks and weeks as winners. And
Jeopardy James.
Yes, well, right. So he actually said on one of the shows that they asked him, where you get a lot of your knowledge from, your inspiration, mm-hmm. and he said children's picture books are perfect because they summarize all the key ideas of some of the most important topics in the world and in history. So he's a big fan of picture books, and I know that lots of other adults can pull a lot of valuable information from nonfiction picture books. I'll stand by that.
So there's always a message in each of your books.
There is, yeah. Sometimes you can't even help it, because if you find a fascinating story, there's right. always some value in it. So, somebody will bring me a subject to write, mm-hmm. and I won't discover that theme or the value of it until I've done some research, but it inevitably comes because why would it be worth retelling in the first place, or why would these people be notable if there wasn't some value to the story? And I think the part I've enjoyed with the ones I've done is, well, with the inventor ones, what was nice is I was showing children how the things in their world, the origins of the things in their world.
Right.
You know, they could walk around their neighborhoods and know that Ben Franklin originated something they see, or Edison, or even Leonardo. So that's been great there. And then a lot of the other ones, I've shown them how these really famous and important people were kids once, and mm-hmm. they weren't born famous, they weren't born brilliant. You know, they just, this happened over a course of time, and it happened because of the events in their lives, and it came because they followed a passion or a dream, sometimes in tremendous adversity, and they pushed through, and there was perseverance. And I hope that it's something that inspires the kids in that way.
And I think it's so important for children to read again.
Oh, yeah.
They're so busy with their iPads and their games and texting each other. And
yeah, grammar's gone a little bit out the window.
They start reading books again.
Yeah, I think with texting, unfortunately, the grammar's gone out the window a bit.
The grammar, the spelling.
Right.
It's
the, what was I just going to mention? Oh, and I also think that we've moved kids on from picture books a little too soon. I know kids will jump on to chapter books and things like that. But there's been plenty of really smart articles about how valuable picture books are in the learning process for kids, and how they make relationships between words and pictures, and what they can infer from an image, and all of that is vital.
Right, and even in a picture, a person's their appearance, the face they have, the look they give, can tell a lot.
Yeah, well, there are plenty of wordless picture books. Like my friend David Wiesner, whose books are really well known, maybe all but one are wordless, and they tell a full story and an important story. And kids have just as much to discuss after reading one of those than they do, anything with full text.
Have you ever done a children's book with photographs?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I guess it's probably because I like to illustrate.
You like to draw.
Yeah.
And
but
you're
I guess,
good.
That, you know, in a way, that was what I was headed toward if I were to be a film director. I haven't done that.
So you have two books coming out?
Well, I have. The Carver one just came out, but I'm working on two right now. There's one I think I mentioned that not only do I write and illustrate for myself, but I've started to write for other illustrators. And the Carver one was illustrated by Frank Morrison, and we also did a book on Muhammad Ali's childhood called Muhammad Ali, A Champion Is Born. That also has a great story about his childhood.
What was his childhood like?
He was living in Louisiana, and and he had his share of adversity, of course, during those years. And he went to a home show with his friend. They were riding their bikes and spending the day there. They came out, and his bike was gone. It had been stolen. And he was running all over frantically trying to find whoever stole his bike, and somebody directed him back to the building where the home show was being held. And they said, go down to the basement. There's a police officer down there. And he went downstairs. He talked to the police officer, and he said, whoever took my bike, I'm going to whoop him. And the police officer happened to be a boxing coach. And he said, well, kid, if you're going to whoop him, you better learn how to fight. And that changed the course of his life.
Whoa, that's how he got into boxing.
Yeah.
So that interesting.
Was, yeah, that moment alone changed the course of his life.
And that's what I was talking about, how sometimes the universe sends us a sign to push us in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you least expect it sometimes.
Sometimes. Stay with me, Gene. We're going to take a short break, okay, Doug? And then we'll be back. This is Cindy Gilman in Discover Your Potential.
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115.
And we are back. And I have a little surprise for everybody, because my guest today is Gene Barretta. Not only is he a children's book author, an illustrator, animator for Sesame Street, but I want you to hear a little bit about this, a little of this music. Ready, Doug? You're listening to Discover Your Potential. I'm Cindy Gilman, and today I'm speaking with Gene Barretta, who is a renowned children's book author and illustrator. And now we hear some of his music.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
That was a previous life.
What?
That was a previous life.
Yeah, I've had a few dozens of those. Literally... So when did you play music?
That was back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that was when I was in a band. I think that song was recorded in the late 90s, because we had some studio space and decided we should just get this stuff recorded. But the band...
Now, did you write the music and lyrics?
I had a band partner, and so the two of us wrote the music and performed it with... You know,
now, I couldn't quite understand the lyrics. What's the name of that song?
Bigger Clouds.
Bigger Clouds?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you ever, what were you playing?
On that, I was, the two of us were singing together, and I was playing guitar and bass.
Mm-hmm. Do you play other instruments as well?
Not really. I mean, I'll toy around with them, but it's generally guitar and bass.
Do you still play a little?
Well, I have my two guitars on stands here out.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, there was a period where all my finger calluses went away because I was never touching it because they were in the closets in their cases.
Right.
But now if, you know, I'm waiting for some food to heat up or whatever, I'll pick it up and run through a few things just to stay a little bit. You know, so it doesn't completely leave my memory or...
I know.
You know, the skills don't go completely away.
I was a child performer and sang.
Oh, wow. Did you play an instrument as well?
Pardon? Not for public consumption.
Right.
I play a little piano. My son plays piano by ear, and he has relative pitch.
Okay.
Yeah, but I went on to sing concerts And it was when I was performing after college, when I was performing in Miami and up in the Catskills and picking up things from people in the audience.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know what? It's time for me to go home and do what I'm supposed to do.
Right. Well, so you had that Catskills experience.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Opened for
around
all the big comedians.
A lot of the big comedians in their day.
Mm-hmm.
And wow.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
I'll bet.
And so was Miami Beach at the time, because all the big hotels had supper clubs. And
gotcha, right.
Very different. Now, is Ben around?
Oh, you want to talk to my son?
But after I talk to him, he's going to give the phone back to you, so.
Okay. Ben?
Yeah?
You're wanted on the phone.
I'm waiting to interview Mr. Ben.
Here comes my son.
Here he comes.
Say hi to Cindy.
Hello.
Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Good. A little bit sad right now, but good.
Why?
Well, because there's a lot of things going on. Because I have to be in a dormitory, and pretty much one of the roommates like snores, and it makes me stressed because I can't really sleep. And I'm trying to.
All right, listen.
That. Yeah.
Tell your dad to buy you some earmuffs. Earmuffs, and then close your eyes. And imagine yourself in the happiest or most peaceful place you've ever been. And that will just drown out those snoring. What is it? Boy, he's a noisy sleeper, this guy.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad last week, but I just think that it'll go well, just as long as I could, because my mom always tells me just breathe and stuff, because she's actually giving me some earplugs today, so before I go back, so
mm-hmm.
Hopefully that'll be better.
Tell her to get you some earmuffs. But, so now that you're on BBS Radio with me, tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you like to do? What are your activities that you enjoy?
I really like playing video games.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite?
Probably Fortnite and Rocket League.
Okay. I don't know either one of those.
And
what kind of games are those?
Rocket League is a game where you design your own, like, car, and it's, like, rocket-powered, and it's kind of like soccer.
Hmm.
And then Fortnite is just a first-person shooter game.
So there's a lot of shooting going on.
Yeah, but no blood.
Well, that's good. Do you like sports?
Yes, I actually play a lot of tennis. Sometimes I play basketball.
Mm-hmm. Are you a good tennis player?
Yes, I am.
So do you play with just one person, or do you play doubles, or?
It just depends on the day, really. Because I play more towards the summer, and then, like, basketball and, like, indoor soccer during, like, around this time when it's cold.
Mm-hmm. So which one is your favorite, tennis, basketball, or soccer?
Tennis.
Yeah. That's a great game.
It is.
Your favorite food?
I would say pizza.
Pizza? What kind of pizza do you like?
Sausage.
Uh-huh.
Sausage pizza.
Is that a hint for your dad to call out for pizza tonight?
No, I'm actually having chicken noodle soup.
I'm sorry?
I'm actually having a chicken noodle soup tonight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's just so liquidy, it takes so many bites, or it takes so many, like, gulps to finish.
So, do you have a favorite joke or riddle?
Not really, no. It's just...
No?
No.
Are you more serious? You're not into jokes and riddles.
Not really riddles, but I do like jokes.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you know a clean one you can tell me? Or would you rather not? That's okay. That's okay. So, you're going to get some earmuffs?
I have a joke. I have a joke.
Okay, here comes a joke.
So why do ballerinas stand on their tippy toes? Why doesn't the manager just get taller ballerinas?
I don't know why.
No, that was the joke.
I'm sorry. You told the whole joke, but why don't they just stand on their tippy toes?
Yeah.
That's good. That's cute.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for making your first radio debut now that you're famous. Because you're being heard all over the world. So that is Ben Beretta, who is an avid tennis player. Doesn't care much for snorers. And loves pizza.
Yep.
Ben, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to talk to your dad now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
He's a natural.
You just have to
get him some earmuffs.
Yeah, I know. That's the...
Even lightweight ones. And I told him to go to his favorite peaceful or favorite place and imagine himself there. And he'll fall asleep.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, it's he needs his sleep, so we have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be fine.
Right. Everybody needs sleep.
Right.
And it seems to really bother him because he brought that up right at the beginning.
I know. That's this week's drama at the dormitory.
Mm. I know what I wanted to ask him.
What?
Maybe he doesn't know. Next Sunday is Groundhog Day.
Okay.
And I never get straight whether if the groundhog sees his shadow or if he doesn't see his shadow, which one is it that there will be more winter, we'll have a short winter?
Hmm.
Maybe someone can call in and tell us. 888-627-6008. Somebody out there, let me know, what is this groundhog? Supposed to see his shadow? Not supposed to see his shadow?
Well, I just found out online, but I'll let the callers let
me know. No, that's okay.
If he sees his shadow, there'll be a wintry weather for the next 6 weeks.
Actually, we haven't had a bad winter up here in New England.
Okay.
Have you?
We've had some bad ones, but not recently. I mean, there's nothing that lasts too long.
Right.
You know?
It just, we haven't had as much snow as...
Right.
I'm just as happy, but the skiers aren't.
Right, exactly. I like to, I just wish, I'm always happy if there's a snowy Christmas.
Right.
And I could do without it for the rest of the time before and after.
It's nice when it first falls and everything
is
covered in, you know, that layer of white and the snow is kind of
before it becomes
dangling
lush.
From trees. And
right.
And then after that, as far as I'm concerned, it can disappear.
Right. It's just slush.
Of course, Doug, who's working the technical part of this show, he's in California. So they don't get much snow at all.
Southern California?
I believe he's in Northern California.
Okay.
Doug, are you in Northern California? He doesn't like to talk on the air.
Do you get snow there?
We do get snow here in the Bay Area. Not really. I mean, I'm sorry, forgive me. I was in Paradise. We lived in Paradise, a town that got burned down. We just moved here a year ago to the Bay Area, and there's really no snow. It's It's very lovely, in fact. The summers are beautiful and the winters are beautiful. I can see why people spend so much to be here.
Mm-hmm, right.
Uh-huh.
I was there for the first time about 2 years ago for a book conference, and it was just in San Francisco, the city of it. I didn't get to see anything else surrounding it, but that was beautiful.
So, Doug, if they're expecting a blizzard, I'm going to pack a bag, and you'll have a knock at your door.
We have the room.
Doug and his brother are great.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be snowless this winter. So when do you, if people want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, they can go to my website, which is jeanberetta.com.
Okay, and I'm going to spell it for the audience. Mm-hmm. It's G-E-N-E-B-E-R-R-E. What?
Wait, you got it wrong already. Do you want me to do it?
Please.
G-E-N-E-B-A-R-R-E-T-T-A.
And that's what I have written down here, and I said it wrong. I apologize.
okay,
so they can go to your website. Can they order books there?
There are links to, I mean, you can get my books wherever books are sold. You know, if you have an independent bookstore near you, I always like to recommend those. But otherwise, you can get them anywhere online or any of the major book chains, too. Even if they're not in stock, you can just...
So where do they go to Amazon or book publishers? Or?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any bookseller. Yep.
And,
but there are links. If you go to my website, you'll see the whole list of
books
and links and things.
The ones that they want to get their children. And I'll tell you something.
There's more on there too. There's a lot of other art that I've done, and some of the I've done some character design work and some other illustration related work that they might enjoy seeing. And some videos
then
too. Yeah.
We suggest that people go to Jean Beretta's website. And Beretta is spelled B-A-R-R-E-T-T-A .com.
Right.
So I'll be looking forward to seeing the books. You know, I want to just, for those of you who are listening, or even later on if you listen to the podcast, one of the best activities you can do with your children when they're small, even when they're not that small. If they can't read yet, read the book to them. If they can read, either alternate you reading and they reading, or let them read to you. It's a wonderful, fulfilling experience when you do this with your child.
We did it every night for years, before he could even read, and tried to make it as dramatic as possible and, just to engage him as much as possible, and just even got silly with it because he would hear the books countless times, and so whatever you could do to keep it fresh worked. And eventually they knew the story by heart, but it was also just about, you know, they'll remember that experience of lying in bed with your mom or dad.
Right.
And all those images they had conjuring up in their minds, and you can't replace that.
I know. Yeah. Well, you're doing wonderful work.
Thank you.
And really making a mark, not only in the literary world, but doing something to help others, and especially for children. Jean, I thank you for being with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk again, and you know what?
Jean's brother is online. Just wanted to say hi.
Oh, Jean's brother's on the line.
Hey.
Hello.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
What's your name?
Hi. My name is Bill. I'm
the
younger
Bill.
Brother.
Hi, Bill. How'd your brother do?
I think he did pretty well. He, Yeah, I was listening. He's a little humble, I have to say that. I could go on bragging all day about him, but I think he did very well. Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, what do you want to say? Do you have anything important to say?
Well, I think you said it.
Yeah, I think just to make sure, you know, wash behind your ears, brush your teeth, and follow your dreams.
Did you hear your
name? Are you his brother or his mother?
Yeah, right.
Brush your teeth,
your nephew wash
on your
the
hands.
Pardon? I did. I heard Ben. I heard Ben. He was much better than you, actually. He was much more interesting. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Bill. And Gene,
thank
you for being my guest today. And we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Cindy.
We're going to take a short break, and I have another guest coming on after the break. So you're listening to Discover Your Potential. I'm Cindy Gilman. You're listening to BBS Radio. Hang on. We'll be right back after this message.
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115.
I have another guest today, and before I introduce him, 17 years ago, on February 20th, I was in my office. And as many intuitives and mediums feel things before they're going to happen, I walked around the office saying, "Do you smell smoke? Do you smell smoke?" And people said, "No, there's no smoke." And finally, I went home. I conked out on the couch. And after midnight, I noticed the news was still on. Perhaps one of the greatest, or I shouldn't use the word great, the most devastating occurrence in Rhode Island history was the horrific fire at the Station nightclub caused by improper pyrotechnics, which just set the whole place on fire. The next morning, I was sitting in my dining area having a cup of coffee, and this young person with blonde, long blonde hair, blue eyes, a short leather jacket, and a jeweled T-shirt appeared and said, "Please call my father," and then disappeared. I was taken aback a little bit, and then he appeared again. I almost dropped my coffee cup. And he said, "Please call my father." And at first he showed up looking the way he looked, with the long blonde hair, blue eyes, leather jacket. And then he showed me what he looked like after the fire, and then disappeared. At that point, I really didn't know what to do. And I opened up my phone book, my personal phone book, and Dave Kane's beeper number was there. And I said to myself, "Well, I'll call him and ask him if I can do anything to help. And maybe somebody out there knows who this young person is." As it turned out, I didn't have to go on the air. It was Dave's youngest son, Nick O'Neill, who was only 18 years old. And I want to read something briefly to you, because although he was young, he was an old soul. This is called "When You're Alone" by Nick O'Neill. "Yes, Nicky, I will say happy birthday to your father. when you're alone, do your defenses drop? Do you sit and think and feel like time stopped? Does it feel like the curtain at the end of a show? Do you cry about the things you wish you didn't know? I will protect you from the pain. Don't let these words get in your brain, because you know I feel the same. Think of me. I hope you do. You can cry, but you don't have to. Next time you're alone, can I be alone with you? It was a poem that Nikki wrote, and my very dear friend and radio compadre, I welcome Dave Kane.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on.
No, it's my pleasure. Happy birthday.
You know, my contract usually says I don't work on my birthday, so here I am on the air.
Uh-oh, I'm breaking the contract.
There you go.
But you're not working. We're just having a little conversation.
We're just chilling. That's right.
You know, when your son came to me yesterday, and, you know, you got to call my father. You got to call my father. Please call my father. And I thought, whoop, okay, is it Nikki's birthday? Is it some date that I should know about? And I called you, and you said, it's my birthday.
Yeah, he was supposed to be born on my birthday, but he held off 2 days, like you said, to have his own day. So
he had his own birthday.
He's 35 on Tuesday.
Well, it's just so hard to believe that it's already been 17 years since that horrible night.
It really is, and you know, as you know, I do talks about the fire and about my book, et cetera. And I do hospice classes. I do nurse college death and dying classes for nurses, nursing colleges. And I realize I'm talking to children who were barely born when this fire happened.
Right.
They're very young people. And so, as you said, this is the 17th year. By the way, it was the fourth largest nightclub fire in the country's history. The fourth largest.
You know, when I first moved to Rhode Island, that building was a steakhouse.
Yes, it was.
Pardon?
It was, and the capacity was 60 people.
Right, and I remember taking Daniel there, and we were going to have dinner. And I had such an uneasy, uncomfortable feeling. I did not want to be in this building. And Danny just looked at me and said, Ma, should we get our dinner to go? And I said, oh, yes. So we did, and we left.
Great.
I want to, everybody has their way of dealing with grief. Since this has happened, I know that you've really come to understand how we all have people who watch over us and people who send signs, and you've written a book to help through your grief, and it's called 41 Signs of Hope. Now, why was 41 important to Nikki?
Well, we didn't know why it wasn't, and I think we understand a little now, but he didn't even know. He would get in the for some reason, 41 was his number. He'd get in the car with me and say, Dad, look, it's 241. Or he'd see a license plate, Dad, 4141. And we never knew what it was. When Nikki passed, he was 18 and 23 days, 41. The station nightclub is at latitude 41.41. The fire call box at the station was 4414. And on the cover of my book, as you know, is a sketch my friend Charlie Hall did for us from a videotape we found a year after he passed. And in the videotape, his mom is holding him. He's about 4 months old. He has a little baseball uniform on, and the number on the cap is 41.
You know, and the interesting
thing. That's how it started.
The interesting thing is, I did not choose my office phone number.
No.
And the phone number is 885-4115.
Yeah, it's really amazing because it's very obvious to me that, you know, I mean, of all the people, and you know what I mean by this, of all the people that I would have expected to hear from. Now, you called me about this incident, Nikki's visit, the morning after the fire.
Right
after it happened.
Right.
And I used to have Cindy on the air with me as a medium, of course, and she'd read people on the air. And,
a petite medium.
And I had a what?
A petite medium.
A petite medium, thank you, at large, yeah. And the thing was about it that I actually had, I don't think we'd spoken in, I'm going to say a year, maybe a year and a half. It was a long time. And to have you call me the following morning to give me that message, it was amazing to me that Nikki knew how to get through to me quickly.
Right. He knew who to go to.
He knew who could go to, and
Auntie
he knew
Cindy.
Who would act on it. Exactly. And he knew who would act on it.
That's right.
That was the impressive part. And then he helped you come to my name in the book, et cetera. And I want to point out, you know, I'm talking like, you know, a lot of people, very religious, and we think we're giving spirit special powers. We in our family, we believe that all of this is from a good and loving God.
Absolutely.
And he is helping us to connect with one another. We are not exchanging our loved ones for the spirit of God or an almighty power. It is this good power that is helping us to connect.
Well, the interesting thing, because the soul is eternal.
Right.
And whether that soul is here on the physical plane in a physical body or whether they've passed over or crossed over, they are still with us. They're watching over us. Not all the time. They are not spiritual peeping Toms, but they're there. And, you know, this time when Nikki came to me yesterday, you know, it was like, uh-oh. Because he's come to my office, and he brings Bailey, this young girl, with him, and they start, the CD player starts going in Morse code, and I go, okay, Nikki.
It really is amazing, and that's an interesting point, that spirit meets spirit, and they help out. I was on the air one day, and I was talking about Nick. And a lady called me, I think you know the story, but a lady called me, and she said to me, I can't believe you're saying what you're saying today. I said, why? She said, my son passed away 20 years ago. She said, and I had a nervous breakdown, and I've only been back to work about 5 years. She said, and recently, you know, she heard me telling about what Nikki does, and she said, recently I thought that I saw my son in my house.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and I thought that I was, you know, losing it again. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what I think happened. I think your son and my son have hooked up. I said, and your son wanted to go be with you, but he was afraid of sending you over the fence, you know. And Nikki said, you want to talk to your mother? Let's go talk to my father. And I think that they arranged for her to be home. She
right.
said, I work 7 days a week. I never have a day off. I hate radio. I especially hate talk radio. She said, and here I am listening to you, and you're talking about your son, and I'm realizing that I'm not imagining that my boy really is here.
Wow.
And so the spirit does this all the time. They get
right.
They connect to each other. I mean, I'm telling you, but you know what I'm saying, that I've learned
right.
that they connect and they make something happen.
Well, you'll
That's
be
great.
Happy to know that in 2 weeks, because I do this program every other week, that a mutual friend of ours, Robert Brown, is going to be on this program.
Oh, that's
and I'm
great.
Very excited about that.
Well, that is terrific.
Now, before we have to finish up, where can people get your book, 41 Signs of Hope?
Okay.
And how can they arrange for you to come and speak at their organization?
Well, they can simply check out Dave Kane with K-A-N-E is the spelling, DaveKane.net, and all my contact information is there. To get a book, the books are on Amazon. They are Kindle as well as hard copies. And they can see the award-winning documentary 41.
Oh, I'm
in it. Yes, you are. And it's on Amazon Prime, and also you can get it on iTunes. Now, this is not the 41 about George Bush. This is the other 41.
Right.
And
no,
so you're more than welcome to see that. Yep. And they'll love it. It's great. I think you can rent it for like $4 or $5. And it's almost two hours of tremendous inspiration.
It is. And Nikki wants you to go and give Joanne a big hug from him.
I will.
And
I will.
He just said, thanks for everything, Mom.
I'll tell her. I'll tell her. He talks to her all the time anyway, but I'll butt in this time. And thank you so much. And thank Doug for me, too. He did a great job getting us together.
He always does a great job.
All right. Thank you, Cindy.
Okay. I'll talk with you soon. Happy birthday.
Right, bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, this is Cindy Gilman. You've been listening to Discover Your Potential. If you want to hear the podcast, they'll be on iTunes or Spotify. And Doug, thank you so much for today and helping out. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115. This is the only